a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
All right, we will call the House Local Governments meeting to order. We are going to take just a little break here while we... Well, I guess we're good now. So, all right, well, I'd like to thank all the Internet listeners today. We have five bills on the docket. Reminder to everybody to turn off your cell phones. We do have a standing policy here that it'll be a $50 donation to the USD Foundation if your phone goes off in committee. If we have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Here.
Craig.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hawks.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Marty.
Here.
Quam.
Here.
Rosem.
Here.
Shane Fish.
Here.
Soli.
Here.
Tolson.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
13 present. We have a quorum.
We have a quorum of the members present. All right, the chair will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Representative Craig and a second by Representative Soli. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
So moved. All right. I see we have a few pages in here. If I could get you guys to come up to the mic and introduce yourselves and say a little bit about yourselves and what your plans are.
I'm Brett Carley. I'm from Philip, and I plan to go into nursing.
Hi, I'm Maria Corio. I'm from Elk Point, and I plan on majoring in nursing and going into ROTC Air Force at the University of Wyoming.
Hi, I'm Johanna Lippert. I'm from Yankton, and I plan on majoring in international studies at Baylor University.
Very good. Sounds like we have some nice, bright pages. We have one more.
Wow.
We're loaded up today.
I'm Ben Stiegelmeyer. I'm from Selby, and I plan to work in the future.
Just like the rest of us. All right. I just want to remind all the testifiers that if you're going to provide testimony today, to make sure you're signed in and make sure that you run all the handouts through our pages so they can be distributed properly. And just a reminder to the committee that all questions run through the chair. Did we have,
we had a cell phone. We had a cell phone.
I did not catch it.
Where's the sergeant at arms?
All right, well, we'll move into consideration of bills. We'll now hold or open the hearing on House Bill 1090. Do we have any proponent testimony for 1090?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the House Local Government Committee. I'm Steve Westra from District 13. I appreciate the opportunity to rise before you today and bring House Bill 1090, which is an act to prohibit a person from serving as a member of a Consumer Power District Board of Directors in certain cases. I look at House Bill 1090 as a common sense piece of legislation that protects businesses and marketing strategies of consumer power districts here in the state of South Dakota. More specifically, the bill amends existing statute with language that states that no person shall be qualified to serve as a member of a consumer power district's board of directors if their service would be inconsistent with that of their employment or financial interest. I just kind of want to talk. I'm sure many, if not all of you at one point, have served on boards and are currently serving on boards and understand that many times when serving on them, there is proprietary information that is discussed. I did look up this morning the definition of proprietary information, and it is just simply information that is not public knowledge, such as certain financial data, test results, or trade secrets, and that is viewed as the property of the holder. I want to be clear to all of you with this bill, House Bill 1090, that this language does not ask for a carve-out for consumer power districts or ask them to be treated any differently than their competitors. Their competitors already have similar language in their bylaws, and I believe that this language puts consumer power districts on a level playing field with their competitors and adds protection to their business practices. An example, if I could give you, would be, for instance, Coca-Cola versus PepsiCo. We all, I think, would agree that if there was an employee of one of those companies that was trying to get on the board of the competitor, that would make no sense. And that's exactly what House Bill 1090 aims to do. So with that, I would ask for your support of House Bill 1090, and I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have any other proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Drew Duncan. I'm the registered lobbyist. I'm a lawyer in Sioux Falls and registered lobbyist for Heartland Consumers Power District, which is based in Madison, South Dakota. Heartland is a consumer power supplier that provides power to municipalities in South Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Iowa, and also provides supplemental power to the state of South Dakota at USD, SDSU, Northern, and I believe DSU, over and above those institutions' WAP allocations. Heartland is the only consumers power district currently operating in the state of South Dakota, and we're here today to ask you to support House Bill 1090. Heartland, like any other consumers power district that could be created, is a creature of statute. By that I mean that Heartland was created by the statutes contained in six separate chapters of Title 49 of the South Dakota Code. Everything is covered from the formation of a power district right up to its dissolution. The qualifications to serve as a board of director are articulated in SDCL 493611. As you can see from the original language in the statute, there's absolutely no mention of director's conflict of interest, and I can't find any mention of the topic anywhere else in Title 49. Heartland believes this needs to be changed. It's also important to note that as a quasi-governmental entity, Heartland's Board of Directors are elected in much the same fashion that you are, with the exception that Heartland's board elections are considered non-political. There are 10 separate board positions and encompass 10 separate board divisions. In order to run for the board, a potential board member has to take out a petition from the Secretary of State's office and get 50 qualified electors of the district to sign the petition, just like you guys. Those petitions are then certified by the Secretary of State, and the petitioner is placed on the general election ballot. The issue that's before you now isn't a new one to Heartland. The Board of Heartland Consumers Power District, the staff and legal counsel have been considering a statutory change for a long time. All the groups mentioned have had concerns that due to the competitive nature of the electric business and the absence of a statutory language prohibiting service on the board by a competitor, that Heartland's strategic marketing and business decisions could be accessed. Those would potentially have a significant adverse effect in pricing and customer development on Heartland's business and the many customers in South Dakota and elsewhere that Heartland serves. A recent situation brought this issue to the point where Heartland felt it must ask the legislature to intervene and amend the existing statutory framework. In the last election cycle, a gentleman that worked for another electric company in South Dakota took out petitions to run for the Heartland board. Now, before I go any farther, as I've discussed with many of you before, I have to tell the committee again that neither at this time nor then did we believe that the person who took out the petitions did so with any malice or nefarious intent or with the intention of exposing marketing or customer development secrets to his employer. The board and staff at Heartland immediately realized that if the person was elected to the board, that he could have taken part in a significant amount of strategic planning, marketing, and even some legal discussions held by the board in the regular course of its day-to-day business. The candidate's service on the board would have been significantly hampered to the point that service at all would have been nearly worthless due to the fact that he would have had to recuse himself from most of the decision-making. Due to a petition filing error by the candidate, his petition was challenged. It was knocked off the ballot. Regardless, the board knew that situations like these had to be avoided in the future and a statutory change needed to be requested. The amendment to the existing bill itself is very simple. As Representative West related to you earlier, the new language prohibits service on Heartland's board for people with conflicting employment and inconsistent financial interest. Both conflicting employment and financial interest are terms well-defined in other jurisdictions and are used by our competitors within the industry currently. It is our belief that should there ever be a challenge based on the language, that a court would easily be able to decipher those terms. A body of case law exists in states such as Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, and elsewhere on what constitutes conflict under the financial interest language, and we believe a court would have no problem seeing what is inconsistent employment. The Iowa case law states the conflict of interest generally are based on moral principles and public policy. That conflict of interest laws are meant to avoid putting public service like you, like those that sit on Heartland's board, to the difficult and often insoluble task of deciding between public duty and private advantage. Other jurisdictions, like Minnesota, define a financial interest as an interest in another competing party or direct or indirect competitor, and whether or not that person who is asking to be seated on a board can set aside his or her interest when making decisions. Nebraska's case law seems to define financial interest as when one has a substantial direct benefit or personal business motivation. Some time ago, the United States government defined the same body as one who has a direct or indirect interest in the pecuniary profits or contracts of a business. As you can see, the terms are well-defined in law and would add protection to the business performed at Heartland. In conclusion, I would again ask for your support of 1090, and I'd be happy to stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1090? Do we have any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1090? If not, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony for House Bill 1090? Do we have any opponent testimony for House Bill 1090? Well, since we don't have any opponent testimony, I don't see a reason for a rebuttal. So I will now open it up to committee questions. Do we have any questions from the committee? And or any action from the committee?
Chair.
Representative
Second.
Craig. Okay, we have a... It's been moved by Representative Craig, seconded by Representative Bruner. So, on House Bill 1090, do we have any comments on that motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bruner.
Well, I think this is great legislation. I've been involved with boards like this, rural electric boards, for 20 plus years, and I can't believe they haven't dealt with it before now. Heartland was a creation of the rural electric co-ops in the state to wield power, and to have somebody on their board, seated on their board, that would have financial interest in a co-op or IOU or an investor-owned or something like that wouldn't be a good situation. I know, being on the electric boards, I've got to sign documents. I can't even own stock in an investor-owned utility and things like that. So this is just, it's good legislation, and I see no reason anybody should oppose it. Thank you.
Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to give my appreciation for the presentation. It was very factual, and you did a lot of work on that bill, and I thank you for that.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is a do pass motion for House Bill 1090. The secretary will call the roll. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13 yay, 0 nay.
House.
Who gets it?
You close it. You can close the bill.
Yep. 1 second. House Bill 1090, having received a majority of the vote for the members present, has passed. Representative Craig. We have a consent motion from Representative Craig and a second by Representative Heineman. Is there any discussion or dissent on that? Don't need to take discussion, right? Move to consent. All right, we're now open the hearing on House Bill 1112. Do we have any proponent testimony on House Bill 11-12.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. Lauren Pankratz, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. We've had a few speed bumps along the way with House Bill 1112, and so as a result of some encouragement from members of this committee, we are going to respectfully ask that you dispose of this bill this morning. And what we're going to do is gather the interested parties, retailers, wholesalers, commissioners from our western counties that contain the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota, firefighters, and other interested parties to see if we can't find some resolution to the mutual problems that exist as we try to move this thing forward. So I spoke with Representative Virtue, our prime sponsor, last night briefly, as he has other issues that he's dealing with, to advise him of our plan, and he was in agreement as the prime sponsor. So with that said, again, Mr. Chair, I would respectfully request that the committee dispose of House Bill 1112.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to that effect?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the other representative who signed on to this bill, I thought I should make a comment. And I agree with the action that's being asked here. And since I've made preparatory remarks, I won't make a motion here. But I would ask that you either table it or send it to the 41st day or set it sail across the... I can't. I made preparatory remarks. But I would just make one quote, and former representatives in signing onto this bill said, may I reserve the right to be smarter today than I was yesterday. So I would be opposing the bill at any rate. So I would
Mr.
just
Chair.
Ask that to somebody make the motion.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you. I move that we send it to the 41st day.
Second.
I have a first and a second. Or a first by Representative Greenfield, a second by Representative Consett to send House Bill 1112 to the 41st day. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing no discussion, the Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Soley.
Aye.
Tulson.
Aye.
Auten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
We have 13 yea, 0 nay.
House Bill 1112 has not received a majority of the votes and will now be sent to the 41st day. We will now move on to action on House Bill 1197. Is there any proponent testimony on 1197? My bad, I'm looking at the not revised agenda, and 1197 has not been calendared today. So we will move on to action to Senate Bill 16. Is there any proponent testimony for Senate Bill 16?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Marty Jackley, South Dakota Attorney General. Today, the Attorney General asked this committee to essentially take authority away from the Attorney General and decriminalize certain conduct. Right now, under existing law, we have laws that pertain to communication devices, commonly referred to as police scanners, but with the new apps, there are many different types of communication devices. Under the existing law, the Attorney General, and I'm referring to SDCL 24-4, that chapter, the Attorney General defines what emergency vehicles are. There's authority for the Attorney General, as well as some local law enforcement authorities, to grant permits to have certain communication devices, namely scanners. The bottom line is, under existing law, though, if you don't have a permit from the Attorney General, a police scanner and all these communication devices are considered illegal contraband, and they have to be confiscated. Believe it or not, we confiscate about 4 to 10 scanners a year. Most of the time, they aren't related to criminal conduct. They're frankly law-abiding citizens that just like to monitor what's going on. I'm requesting, or the Attorney General is requesting, that the law be changed. And very simply, and I'll just read you the change, that the Senate Bill 16 would indicate any person who possesses any device actively receiving law enforcement or emergency dispatch audio or emergency dispatch text while committing a felony is guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor. In other words, if you're going to go rob a bank and you have a police scanner and you're using that as part of the crime, that should be inappropriate. But for all the other reasons, I think following the police on scanners and other things, frankly, is a positive thing. I think it's transparency that the people know what their government is up to. I think to some level it benefits law enforcement that it's kind of a force multiplier. That's why we give the public indications when we're going to do sobriety checkpoints to try to prevent crime. I think technology has frankly changed to the point that this law in its present form is archaic. And for all those reasons, I would ask for your support of Senate Bill 16 to change the law so it only pertains to those individuals inappropriately using these devices when committing felonies. And Mr. Chairman, I certainly would make myself available at the appropriate time for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony on Senate Bill 16? Do we have any more proponent testimony on Senate Bill 16? If not, we'll move into opponent testimony on Senate Bill 16. Do we have any proponent testimony or opponent testimony on Senate Bill 16? If not, there's no need for rebuttal, so I will open it up to committee questions and or action. Representative Soley.
Thank you. Question of the Attorney General. I don't have a police scanner. I just thought, felt like I needed to say that. I was just wondering, and I honestly didn't realize they weren't legal in this state, but made me wonder what other states do.
Mr. Chairman. You know, certainly we have 50 different states and 50 different laws. I think in a normal sense, what we're proposing probably is consistent in other states. They have some form of a law that would say you can't use it to further a crime. But we just ran a quick Google search on, you know, iPhone apps and other. I mean, there's about 100 apps out there that are being sold. And so I think in a general sense, they either have what we're proposing or the already existing law that there is some additional things that felons can't possess it that's already other parts of the law. And so I think this probably brings us, frankly, because of technology, more in line with other states.
Do we have any other questions? Representative Quam?
Do not have any questions. Make motion to pass.
I have a motion by Representative Quam and a second by Representative Bruner for a do-pass motion on Senate Bill 16. Do we have any comments on that motion?
Makes sense to me.
All right, do we have any other comments on that motion? Seeing none, we will move into the vote. Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soley.
Aye.
Tulson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
We have 13 yea, 0 nay.
Senate Bill 16 has received a majority of the vote for a do-pass motion, and we'll move on to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Consett.
Move consent.
Oops.
Mr. Chair. That.
Representative Consett.
Move consent.
I have a first, second for consent. Any dissension? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's it. At this time, I will turn the meeting back over to our chairwoman.
Now we're going to have some order in this place. You guys quit being so rowdy. The chair recognizes that we're now going to start public hearing on House Bill 1194. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1194. Representative Otten, welcome to the hot seat.
Madam Chair, fellow members, give me a second to collect myself, please. I have a couple hand. I have one handout, and then I also have an amendment that I would just ask you to move right away. Madam Chair, may I speak to the amendment?
Please do so.
Amendment 1194 FA comes from the state DOT. They just want a little clarity into the last sentence of the bill where it says municipal or county ordinance. They would like to have state law added into that, and it makes sense to me, and I consider it to be a friendly amendment, and hoping to get that moved right away, and then we can just discuss the bill from there. Madam Chair.
If you'll allow us a little latitude while the pages hand that out, give everybody a chance to read it. Thank you. Has everybody on the committee had a moment to read the amendment? Come on. Representative Hawks?
Madam Chair, I move Amendment 1194 FA.
Second. It's been moved by Representative Hawks on Amendment for 1194 FA and seconded by Representative Qualm. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 1194 has been amended.
Thank you. I'm Herman Otten from District 6. I think I failed to mention that when I handed out the amendment. House Bill 1194 is kind of a constituent's bill and kind of not. This is something that I've thought about for years as I was past mayor and council member in my community. And over the years and just before session started, I had a constituent come to me and talk about the posting of conditional use or rezoning signs, and not every municipality, not every community in the state of South Dakota has a requirement within their ordinance to do a posting. There is nothing in state law that requires a posting for any of these events either, but some municipalities and some counties do require it as part of their ordinance. And what they will do is you have to follow their procedures of publication and maybe mailings, just depending on what the issue and circumstance is. And part of that procedure with those counties or municipalities that have the posting requirement, what they will do is they will give you a stake and a sign that's about 2 inches longer than this. It's usually a piece of cardboard, may or may not be laminated, depending on who's supplying it. And their ordinance will require you to post that on their property to give notice to individuals, maybe your neighbors or somebody driving by, of a possible rezone or a possible conditional use permit that they're applying for that residence or that piece of property. And my bill would not change a requirement that a county or city may have if they have something in their ordinance pertaining to the size of a sign today. So we do, bottom line there says would not preempt any requirement provided. So this would just be to give a little clarity to those, I guess, that do not have a requirement and request that they use a sign that's 24 inches wide by 18 inches tall. That's what this handout here is. That's basically the sign size of a realtor sign is what it is. And you can just imagine driving down highway, gravel road, or even at 60 miles an hour, or even a city street at 30 miles an hour, and you see this in somebody's front yard, as far as you know, they're having a garage sale or anything else, you may not be able to visibly recognize that. And now in the county doing 60, it's hard to see that. The amendment that we had with the clarity for the state law Because right now, you cannot post that sign in a public right-of-way on a highway, so that's why the state law was included in there. But most individuals, that's where they will post it when the county gives them a sign. So I just believe that if those counties and municipalities have a posting requirement in the ordinance, it should at least be of a sign that people can see and understand if they're going to do it. And I believe that this size, and this is a size of a sign that the community of T currently uses for all of theirs, and you can imagine how much more easy this is to see than a sheet of paper would be. So that is the basis for my bill, and I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1194. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chairman.
I'm kind of a rookie testifier. Good morning. Todd Seaman with the Department of Transportation. And the department wants to voice a quick me too in support of House Bill 1194 as amended. The department thanks Representative Otten for bringing the amendment. We are good with the bill as amended. We appreciate the bill now clarifies that state restrictions on placement of signs in the right-of-way apply. Preserving good lines of sight within the right-of-way is an important safety issue, and we would urge your support. I would also stand by if there happens to be a question. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1194. Proponent testimony, House Bill 1194. Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony on House Bill 1194. Opponent testimony, House Bill 1194. Seeing there is none, we will not have a rebuttal at this time. I will open it up for committee questions. The chair now closes the public hearing portion of House Bill 1194 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rosem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. While I don't disagree with the 18 by 24 signs because it does make them visible, this is another state mandate, and I think that this should be made at the county or the municipal level. So if you have a problem in your own community or your own county, you should be talking to those people. This doesn't bring uniformity to what we're doing across the state. It only impacts those who have nothing on the books already. So if you're going to make it worthwhile, to me, you would want uniformity across the state so that the signs would be visible. But this is kind of a patchwork piece, and this, I believe this is a local decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion on House Bill 1194 by the committee.
Madam Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
Just piggybacking off what Representative Rosen said, certain areas of the state are more inundated with people of different cultures, so then they'd have to figure out if they need to post something else in a different language and so on. So I don't think we can do a one-size-fits-all. I think it should be left up to the local efforts.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion on House Bill 1194.
Madam Chair.
Representative Tolson, I'm sorry. I know, I'm blind.
Good morning.
I get it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a reminder that this is what he's asking, Representative Botten's asking, is for a sign about zoning changes or conditional use permits, and that's all we're talking about here. So I just think it's a common sense bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1194.
Madam Chair.
Representative Soli or Hawks?
Down here.
Oh,
yeah.
Rosens.
Sorry.
Now I'm deaf. So,
I move 41st day.
It's been moved by Representative Rosen. Move 41st day.
I second it.
Seconded by Representative Greenfield. Discussion.
I'll just go back to what I said. This doesn't bring uniformity. It's impacting those who have nothing on the books. And I know that there are many counties that already require 18 by 24. Not all do. I think it's a great thing to take back to your city councilors and your city commission or county commissioners and bring it to their attention. But I don't think it belongs at the state level, making mandates for the counties and towns. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. It's been moved by Representative Rosem, seconded by Representative Greenfield, to move to the 41st day, House Bill 1194. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is moved 41st day, House Bill 1194. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Nay.
Greenfield. Hawks.
Nay.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Qualm.
Nay.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
No.
Soli.
No.
Tolson.
No.
Otten.
No.
Consett.
No.
We have 5 yeas and 8 nays.
House Bill 1194, having not received a majority of the vote for moved to the 41st day. Motion fails. Yep. The chair is now open for a
Madam
motion.
Chairman.
Representative.
Move to pass.
Qualm.
Second.
As amended. Representative Qualm
as amended,
has been,
yes.
Has moved to pass, seconded by Representative Craig. The motion at hand is due pass on House Bill 1194. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
No.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
No.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Rosem.
No.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
10 yea, 3 nay.
House Bill 1194, receiving a majority of the vote from the members present, passes. We seem to have our first chasm in our committee, which is what this is all about, so it's great. It's great. Any further discussion by anybody on the committee that would benefit us? Seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved
by Representative Heineman and seconded by Representative Rosem. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.